Good morning. Good morning, everybody. What a delight I get to be able to share the Lord, what He wants to share with you guys, what I feel and super strong about. And I always get very excited about what I sense, a strong pulling, tugging, pushing, however you want to, compelling of the Lord's Spirit to share a message. So much so that I never feel like I could get it all in one Sunday morning. So if this carries on into next Sunday, which I think it will, then so be it. So just join with me today, because this is a fantastic message. What I'm going to be talking about today is something, if you've never heard this, it will really awaken you, alert your senses in a way that you've never been alerted before. And that's what I'm hoping that the Lord will do. I always hope that God will give us a taste. I always want to taste and see that the Lord is good, because I believe that once we taste the goodness of the Lord, once we just grab a hold of Him, He grabs a hold of us. That very action, that very movement is going to take us into places that we can't go ourselves. And that's what I always long for as I share the word of the Lord with you, is that we would just taste the Lord. And once we taste Him, man, there's nothing I want more. There's absolutely nothing I want more than what He tastes like. And that's what I ask. And I know that sounds like super just strange. That ought to sound strange, because it is strange. It's odd. It's different than what's out there. I want to talk about this and ask some questions right off the bat, because I think it gets it engages our minds. You're not just sitting here as a spectator. You're involved with this. You guys know that, right? Okay. If you're new here, that's okay. I'm gonna just like give you a little quick lesson. It's okay if you're new and it's one of your first times. We encourage engagement. Questions, comments, thoughts, concerns. We encourage that. So this isn't a church where you get to just sit. Well, you can just sit, but you might feel compelled and you might get a clue that it's okay to just pipe up and ask a question and we'll go from there. We encourage that very much so. I will not throw you out if you interrupt me. I promise. Now, one time a guy got up in the middle of our church and called me an idiot and walked out. And that was okay. That was one of the best moments I've ever had preaching. I am dead serious. I still look at that as like, that was the most awesome thing that ever happened. Somebody get up in the middle of a message and call me an idiot and walk out. I loved it. I'm not encouraging you to do that. I'm not saying that. But there you go. But if you do feel compelled to call me an idiot, it's okay. I might agree with you. There's a good chance I probably will. And if I don't, I'm sure my wife will. She's pretty good. Yeah. And my mom is here too. She's glad to have my mom here. Oh, you don't like that word? That's not a good word to say? Oh, shoot, man. I say a lot of words I'm not supposed to say. Yeah. Less than smart. Yeah. Here's a question. I'm going to ask this question. Are there subtle attitudes that we have developed that are incorrect or unbiblical? Just asking that question because we really navigate through these times as a people, as a body of believers, as disciples of Jesus, followers of the Lord. However you want to label us, is what we're doing is following after Jesus, pressing on for the prize. I think we need to pay attention, and I believe this, we need to really pay attention, be attentive to the attitudes of our heart that have and can subtly creep into us as believers that are not biblical. So I'm going to deal with these, and I'm going to deal with these for a little while here, not just this morning, because I think there's so many of them out there that that we've accepted and as maybe it's the way that we should be and how we are. An attitude refers to a set of emotions, beliefs, and behaviors toward a particular object, person, thing, or event. Attitudes are often the result of experience or upbringing. And they have an extremely powerful influence over our behavior. And attitudes, they can be enduring. In other words, they could settle into your very soul, but they can also be altered and changed. Hallelujah for the glory of God and the grace of God. So the question I want to ask, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, or maybe even if you don't, I still believe you still need to ask this question. From where am I developing my worldview, which is shaping my attitude? From what source am I developing my worldview? What's a worldview? You guys understand that, right? I hope you guys. A worldview is a line of thinking. It's how we process all that is out there and coming in there to where it actually shapes what comes out of us. Hello? And so what we're after then is a biblical worldview. That's what we're after as followers of Jesus. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to get right off. I'm going to push the envelope. You guys know I love that phrase. I don't know why that's like just such a cool phrase. I don't know why I envision, a mob boss sitting at a table with and he has this envelope full of money, just loaded with cash, and he pushes it across the table and says, "Are you in or are you out? If you take that envelope full of cash, you're in and you belong to me now." I think that's what I'm. I don't know why I envision that. I may have watched too many movies that are probably not. I don't know. I really have no idea. I told the boys the other day after, we discovered that Burt Reynolds passed away. It's like, man, as soon as Clint Eastwood dies, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I think I'm gonna just have to check out for a month because, like, anyway. Scratch that. Let's just move. They did look at me kind of funny. I found that they start looking at me a little bit more funny now, and they don't even say anything. And I'm thinking, what are you guys thinking? You're just looking at me, thinking, you old guy. You're just an old guy. Yeah, is that what they're thinking? I think so. Is you guys thinking that? You guys aren't confessing to it, huh? Yeah. That's okay. Let's push the envelope this morning.
If you want to drop a name, drop the name Miller.
Miller. I had to ask who that was too, and I didn't know. Yeah, they were talking about him passing away, and I'm like, I don't even know who that was. I never heard of him. And then, anyway. Revelation chapter 22, the end of the book. The end of the book. Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 12. How about this for pushing the envelope right off the bat? Because I think this is, as we get to the end, or as we read what the end is like, I think that's the place where we need to start. We need to start looking at where we're going to end up and how this is going to finish and how it's all going to go at the very end. I don't think that's a foolish thing to do. I think that's actually very wise, and it causes us to get the right perspective of our destination, right? Revelation 22, verse 12, starting there, says, "And behold," Jesus speaking. If you have a Bible that has the letters, Jesus' letters in red, this will be a place where the words are in red. "And behold, I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. For I am the Alpha, and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." I'm going to hit a couple of things, and I'm just going to talk about a couple of, really just a couple of issues this morning, and we'll go from there and see where this, and I think this passage of Scripture right here is where I want to focus and sit on for just a little while, because if this is the end, Jesus is coming, and He says He's coming quickly. You know, first and foremost, is Jesus is returning soon. That is an imminent, literal truth. That the Jesus, the Lord, the Messiah, the risen and resurrected in the same word. So it's the resurrected Jesus is returning as the resurrected Jesus to come back. He's coming back. That's literal. It's not metaphorical. It's not something just spiritual. As He left, He is returning. That's the truth. And it's imminent. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. Now, here's where I want us to get in preacher mode for a second here, but because it's got to happen, is we got to be extremely cautious and careful in understanding when Jesus says, I am coming quickly and I am coming soon, He means that. He means that. He's not just buttering our bread to just try to get us to think that that can happen someday, somewhere, somehow, maybe, possibly. He actually is saying that because to Him, that is what He means. Do you understand that? No, well, let's talk about it then. Because I think it's important to understand that when He says quickly, when He says soon, to Him it's quickly and soon. You guys want to hear a verse in the Bible that gives us that very perspective?
Yes.
All right, good answer. Because even if nobody said yes, it was coming. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He said, but beloved, do not forget this one thing. One thing. Do not forget one thing. One thing we ought not to forget. How about that? You guys want to hear one thing we ought not to forget? That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So from our perspective, this was spoken nearly 2,000 years ago. Just a couple days ago to Jesus. That ain't very long, right? I mean, I'm talking like by next week this time, this has already happened, and it's, come on, train, get it moving. He is a slow goer, huh? One more. No, that's not too bad. Okay. Thank you guys for being patient with us here. Amen. So according to Jesus, soon is soon and quickly is quickly, right? 2 days is not that long. Just think about it. No, really, just think about that very aspect of what Jesus is saying. 2 days. That's not very long. Right? Maybe your and my perspective, if we've processed that from a worldview that say, well, it's been saying that forever, you know, they've been saying, you guys, you Christians and Bible thumpers, you guys, that's all you ever say. Jesus come back, and He never come back yet, and He's been saying it for years. It's like, you know what? You're right. We've been saying it for a long, long time. I hope we don't ever sound like that. That was really goofy. I don't know what possesses me to talk goofy when I want to make fun of Christians. Anyway, Bev, you had something to say. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shofar? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cute. All I think of it is a water break. I like that too, though. I think of it as a water break. Because as I get talking a lot, for some reason I start drying out, so I need a water break. So He sends a train by. Yeah. Yeah, the new year is upon us, the Jewish new year. So paying attention to and being attentive to our attitude of the return of Christ. Just stop and assess your own heart, your own emotions. Remember, attitude is developed from experience, emotions, upbringing. The things that have been poured into you have developed attitudes in you. Assess that. Say, what do I feel, think, and believe about the return of Jesus? Honestly, assess that so that you can say, you know, okay, that actually is, if my attitude is, well, they've been saying that forever, and I'm not really buying it, then be honest about it and own it and find out what the truth actually is. Okay? Are you guys with me on that? Yeah, because as we find out, as we discover and research and actually delve into what the truth of God's Word actually is, we'll discover that when Jesus says that, that's actually happening. It's coming about. And all things are in place right now for His return like as never before. The prophecies that have been fulfilled right now in our era, in our world, are right now prime and ready for the return of the King. And that's happening right before us. Don't be afraid of it. Be excited about it, because and as we get excited about it, understand, and we talk about this, it's not in my notes, but I think I can do it for just a second. Robin and I had a wonderful time driving our daughter down to school and college, and, you know, she's only 19, so from her perspective of when we talk about these things and biblical truths and biblical worldviews and the returning of Jesus and stuff, she's processing it from a 19-year-old mind and experience. And that's a whole lot different than my 50-year-old mind and experience. And my 50-year-old mind and experience is even more different than my in-laws who are 75 and my mom, you know, their experience and their mind is even more different than that. So we're understanding that God is so good at placing us all together to try to deal with this and actually process it and receive the truth as the truth, but yet still coming from the place of where we're coming from in experience and understanding and upbringing. Do you guys, did that make any sense whatsoever at all? In other words, some of us come from it from a different place because of our experience, our age, our upbringing, and our even the stuff that we've learned. Hello? But learn it and accept it as the truth of God's Word, that God, that the return of Jesus is imminent and very literal. And what is He going to return to do? That's what I want to get into even this morning, more so, is His return is with what? What did He say there? In Revelation 22, it says, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Did you guys hear this? Now, I want us to really just like let this sink in, because that's what I want to talk about this morning, all morning, the rest of the morning. My reward, Jesus, my reward is with me. To do what? To give to everyone according to His work. Do you know what other translations and how that is worded, I think is really amazing, and it says to give, to repay, to pay back. Recompense. I am coming quickly to give payment to those who have worked for me. Did you hear that? No, that's really what He's saying there. No, do you guys really hear that? I don't think we're actually hearing that. What He's actually saying there, what Jesus is saying, is I am coming literally and imminently. It's happening. And I'm coming with my reward to pay back all that have worked for me. With a payment, a reward, a recompense to those who have worked for me. Did you guys hear that? No, did you guys really hear that? Do you understand what we're really about then? Jesus is coming back to give us a reward. Jesus is coming back to pay us what we've done. Hello? Why do we struggle with that? Nobody's getting excited about that, because it's really a struggle to understand that and receive that as a truth that Jesus actually said. I'm not twisting his words. You can look it up in every translation, and they all say the same thing. I did it just to make sure, because I wanted to make sure that that's what he's saying. That he's coming with his reward to repay us according to our work.
That's an odd concept, because most of us think no good deed goes unpunished.
Well, what we struggle with that is, and that's what I started out with the question, is has an attitude subtly crept in to my Christian worldview that is not a biblical worldview? Has that happened? In this regards, I say yes, because we all struggle with that from different angles too, from different places. So I wanted to talk about it so that we can actually get a right understanding, because I think this is going to be super freeing and extremely enlightening to us to say, okay, now I see it, I get it. God, what do you want me to do with it? Right? Hello? You guys with me? Okay. Let's tackle the first... I think there's a couple of issues in this that we need to just tackle straight on, head up. I believe that the church has, and I think we do this on a regular basis, we overcorrect an untruth. And in that overcorrection of an untruth, we sometimes take it and we go out of balance the other way. In that, what I'm talking about is the works or legalistic gospel. Is we've overcorrected with that, because we don't want us, because we're not a works gospel, which is no gospel at all. The word gospel means good news, and if I've got to earn my salvation, that is not very good news, because I'm falling short and I'm blowing it and I'm sucking at it, to be honest with you. Maybe some of you are doing really, really good, and you're awesome in your self-righteousness and your good behaviors and your good deeds, and you're just, man, you're looking good to God, and you don't really need Jesus. Anybody here like that? I just thought maybe if there were, then okay, then that. The truth is this. Let's go back to the truth, which is, it says it so plainly and point blankly. Is that a word? Blankly? All right. It is now, yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Saying it in a way that is like, I get it, is I'm not saved by my works, but I am saved to do good works. Right? And if we try to overcompensate and say, well, it's not works, you got to be careful, because then it falls into legalism and trying to do good and be good, then what we've done is we overcompensated and we become out of balance to where we sit around and do absolutely nothing. Because I can't actually do anything. If I do anything, it's works. It's kind of like this. There's a country song, it's called Jesus Take the Wheel, right? And it's meaning spiritual, right? I think some of you think it's like, well, you know, honestly, you don't want Jesus to take the wheel while you're driving, right? In other words, you got to still keep your hand on the steering wheel, even though Jesus take the wheel. If you're driving along the road and you say, Jesus take the wheel, and you take your hands off the wheel, guess what's going to happen? You're going to meet Jesus. You're going to meet him. right? No, what I'm saying is yeah, we give Jesus full control. We give him full surrender of our life, but we keep our hand on the wheel. Do we, oh man, this is, gets into such a deep conversation of the sovereignty of God and the sovereignty of man, because it's, he loves us so much that he gives us free will. He will direct us, and he'll pull our hearts, and he'll smack us over the head with a 2x4 if we need it, but he still leaves the choice up to you and up to me to follow him, to go the direction that he calls us and leads us. Hello? And that's the grace of God working in us and through us by faith as his workmanship created to do good works. It's by the power of God that God shows me that I need him, and it's by the same power of God that as I now see him and walk towards him, I take steps, and he empowers every step after I lift up my foot and take it. You guys hear that? And that's truth. That's absolute truth. Basically, what I'm saying with that is there's no excuses for sitting around and doing nothing and saying, well, I'm just waiting for Jesus to do it for me. I just don't see that. I know that that is a misconstrued understanding of what grace actually is. So let's tackle this issue of getting a reward. Let's just tackle it again head on, because I think that that's something that we again have taken, and we have taken the idea and the concept of doing things for a reward, and we placed them in, okay, that's how we live in the world. You know, I go to work on a regular basis, show up, I do a job that I earn the boss money so that he can pay me. I'm getting a reward for something I do, right? And then we transfer over to our spiritual life and we say, oh, I can't do anything. I just got to sit here and do nothing because Jesus did everything. And so if I do anything, then in fact, if I do anything and if I seek any sort of reward for it, I'm actually selfish in my heart. And I don't want to have a selfish heart, so I got to make sure I don't do anything looking for any reward. Or else I become a self-centered Christian and I don't want to be that and do that. Hello? Are you guys tracking with me as far as like maybe how that mindset and that attitude has crept into our very understanding? Well, we can't do anything looking for a result or looking for a reward for it, because then we're doing it out of selfishness. I'm going to tell you something really quick. And I need us to understand this, because the Lord corrected me in this in such a like a really sharp and a very it wasn't harsh, but it was very sharp. Because I asked the Lord about that, and I even started to do this. I was having this conversation with him. I said, yeah, but you know, none of us are really fully capable of having that noble of a heart to do things for all the right reasons, do all the right things for all the right reasons, straight across the board, to where we don't seek any sort of reward in it for ourselves, except you, Jesus. I said that to him. No, I really did. No, listen. I said that to him, and he corrected me like that. I mean, in an instant. And he said, even what I did it for a reward. Did you guys hear that? Even what I did was for a reward. And my reward is you. You are my reward. And I stopped in my tracks and I said, oh God, even Jesus did the right thing for a reward. Hello? That was like such, that was so freeing to me. Because my heart's not good enough to do all the right things for all the right reasons. Hello? Come on, you guys with me? Am I up here by myself? I really don't want to do this all by myself. I need you guys' help. What? Go ahead, brother. David?
I keep thinking of what God said to Abraham
Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Well, and that's see, you just got to the end of my message today, which is good, which is okay, because knowing the end is sometimes a good thing, because as we get through there, we get to it. Absolutely. Thank you, David. I'm not even going to repeat it. I'll just get to it later, since it, so only people around him could hear it. That's all right. Let me back this up with some scriptures, some passages of scripture that we need to just like hit on straightforward, because I think it says it straightforward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward." Did you hear that? He's telling us to build your house to get a reward. He's telling us that. Paul's saying that. "And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Now, I don't know about you. I like the idea, and I relish and I long for the, and it's not just an idea, it's a truth, because I want to present it, because it actually is, of spending eternity with Jesus. Yes. But I think so many of us have done, and I think it's such a wrong perspective and a wrong attitude. It's like, well, I just, as long as I'm a toilet cleaner in heaven, I'll be okay. Shh. Don't go there. That is a unbiblical attitude. It stymies you from striving to be what God's called you to be. Oh, don't get me wrong. A toilet cleaner's heaven is a whole lot better than the alternative. And I know that could be what sometimes when that is said, that's the message that's being conveyed. But please do not convey the attitude, as long as I get there, I'm okay. Because that is not biblical. That is a unbiblical attitude. I'm pushing the envelope. I almost pushed that thing over. I'm excited about this. I'm serious. I'm pushing the envelope, and it's full of cash. It's loaded. But you got to take it. You got to take it. You could say, no, I think I'm just going to settle for just, you know, wood, hay, and stubble, and I'll get in, and I'll be okay with just getting in. You have that choice. I have that choice. Hello? Another passage, Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to get through these passages real quick, because it's really just, it's emphasizing the idea, the concept of seeking a reward that God has for. And I only just pulled up a few of them. There's the Bible's full of them, actually. Matthew chapter 6, he says, "But when you do your charitable deed," this is Jesus speaking to them about doing things in front of people to be seen, so that's what you're going to get, is noticed by people. He says this, he says, "But when you do a good deed, a charitable deed," in other words, you do a deed, you do something that is good for people, "when you do it," he's not questioning like if you do it, he says, "when you do it," in other words, you should be doing good things for people. Hello? Come on, that ought to convict us a little bit. Okay. "When you do a good deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, that your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." Do you know that? I believe this is the same type of place that God is talking about in 2 Chronicles 16:9, where he says, "The eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro." They're looking to and fro, not to smite us, but he's looking for places to just pour into us. He's looking for us to do his bidding, to do the good things. And he's looking for opportunities to reward you. That's a good, good father. Hello? Come on. In the name of Jesus, come on. That's a good, good father. He's looking for places and opportunities to bless you, reward you, fill you. He's looking for that. A bad dad looks for opportunities to beat you. I had one, and it wasn't a good experience. A good dad, a good, good father looks for opportunities to bless you. Hello? Amen. Come on. Yeah. It's getting sweaty up here. I know. Like, I thought it was cooling down. Another verse in Scripture. Let me go there. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 25. You guys with me? No sleepyheads this morning yet? Okay. Yes? Yeah, it was a late night too for me, but that's all right. We're good. We're going to do this. Woohoo! Bam! Uppercut the devil right there. Man, it's happening. It's happening. Oh, I know. Robin laughs at me. She's not in here. She laughs at me like it's all the time. She's like, hey, you're just a goofball, man. It's like, yeah. Whatever you do, she's not out of the bathroom yet. I was talking bad about me. How about this? Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 25. Whatever you do, listen to this. Whatever you do. Hello? Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing. Did you hear that? That means you know it. You know something. Knowing. Do you get it? Do you know it? Yeah. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward. You will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there will be no partiality. God doesn't play favorites. No. And it's not works either. It's not works. It's still the grace of God. It's still grace by faith. It's still grace by faith. Working out my salvation, being the workmanship of God, freely doing and being what God has called and compelled me to do and be. Hello? That's when I do everything, whatever, to whosoever, in the name of the Lord, heartily, for a reward. Knowing that. You guys hearing that? Are we getting this? Oh, okay, good. Do you guys know that, okay, kids. Oh, he woke up. I was going to blast him like, no, that mic was like, no, don't throw my mic. Yeah. Okay. Next time. Trevor, you awake? Okay, thank you. Kind of, sort of. Did you guys know that, listen, LeBron James, you guys, whoever heard of LeBron James? Okay. Yeah. No, listen, though. I want you to, I'm going to bring it home right now. Did you know that LeBron James, he's a famous basketball player, been playing since he was, well, anyway, he's really, really good. He's known as King James on the basketball court. He spends nearly $1.5 million on training his body and mind to be the best at what he does every year. Now, think about that. First of all, that's a whole lot of stinking money, and you're like, well, okay, well, what can he do? Is he buying? No, he actually develops such a regimented training regimen, if you will, to make his body and mind to be the best at what he is called to do and be. What is he wanting to do this? It's interesting. He is investing in being the best by doing the things that most of us make every effort to avoid. Right? Yeah, yeah. Me, I do, yeah. Hard work. Why does he do it?
Money.
Okay, you could say money. I don't think it's money. I don't think it's just money, though. Why do you think? Yeah, he wants to be the goat. The goat. You guys know what goat is, right? Trevor, what's the goat? The greatest of all time. He wants to go down as the goat, the greatest of all time. Yes, he wants rings. Yes, he wants trophies. He wants MVPs, and he wants a lot of money to do it. And he's even taken less money to just be the goat. So I don't think it's all money. But he invests and strives to be the greatest of all time. You guys following with me with this? You know, rings and trophies to be this. I'm gonna actually suggest that his attitude is more biblical than a lot of us Christians towards what we put into our relationship in Jesus. Anybody want to challenge me? Oh, I was hoping somebody would challenge me and say, no, I don't know if that's correct. Well, and I'm going to show you through the Bible that actually is, that I can make that statement biblically and truthfully. Let me first ask you the question as I open up this passage in a second. I'm going to try to word this question in the most impactful way. Zig Ziglar said it like this. He said, if you let anything, whether it be hypocrites, whether it be adversaries, whether it be anybody or anything come between you and God, the truth of the matter is that very thing or person is closer to God than you. Think about it. Whatever you allow to come between your relationship with God, that very thing is closer to God than you, because they're in between you. So they're actually closer. I thought that was pretty astute. I don't know if I 100% agree with it, but I thought that fits with what I'm talking about this morning, because I think that what we sometimes make is an excuse to not be what God's called us to be and not do what God's called us to do are the things that we're letting in between us and God, and we're actually letting that thing become closer to God than me. And God has invested everything to have an intimate, close relationship with you. He's given up everything to be with you, to be with me. Hello? So what are we doing? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting verse 24. I'm almost there. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race, all run, but one receives the prize? You hear what Paul's saying there? One receives the prize. One is the goat. One. That's interesting as he's saying this. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Do you guys hear me? He's saying, live your life aspiring, striving to be the greatest Christian of all time. The greatest Jesus follower of all time. Hello? No, really. That's what he's saying here. Run in such a way, because only one, he's saying, one receives the championship. One's the winner. You run your life to win. Don't settle on second, third, or just finishing even. That's what he's saying in there. He's saying that very clearly. Run our lives, run the race to do more than just finish. Run to be the best. Do everything, whatever you do, heartily, all for the glory of the Lord. Hello? Ah. Okay, I'm going to finish up. Are you guys tracking with me? Trevor? I'm going to quiz you later. Oh, that's a good idea, huh, Stephen? I'll start quizzing him, huh? Just Trevor, though. Just Trevor. Because I want you to be the GOAT. Hey, I had people do that in my life. It's like, hey, I just want you to be the best. I had coaches do it. I want you to be the best at what you can do. So they pushed me. They wouldn't let me settle. They wouldn't let me compromise. They wouldn't let me rest. They wouldn't let me be lazy. And I strive. I always wanted to be, and it was something that God, I believe, instilled within me. I wanted to be the best baseball player, best football player at my position that God had given me the opportunity to do. And I know that's sports and that's athletics and that's a part of it, but again, I look at that as he's carried that over into my relationship with God, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, my grandkids. I long to be something that God has put within me, the best at what I do. And I love it because now I'm a pastor. Guess what? There's other pastors in town. Guess what I want to be? I want to be the best in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Not to make them look bad, but I want to make Jesus look so good that everybody wants him. Hello? Oh, come on. That was good, but I want better than that. Right? I mean, come on, Christians. Quit being, milquetoast pansy. I almost said something I shouldn't have. It wasn't even close. I stopped myself like about a half a millisecond before it came out. I'm going to finish this passage of Scripture. It's really good. Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is in temperate things. Wait. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. In other words, they're just temporary. They're just things of this world. They don't last. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus. I run thus way. This is out of the... different translation. It's in the New King James. That's sometimes why I don't like it. But anyway, I love it, but I don't. Move on, Eric. Okay, stop talking to yourself and just move on. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Did you hear that? In other words, apply this to my very own life. Run as though I'm going to be the best. And you know what? As I run to be the GOAT, I'm going to encourage you guys to all run to be the GOAT too. And yeah, only one of us can be the GOAT, but let's all be the GOAT together and let's run that way is what he's compelling us to do. You guys follow me? Does that word have an issue with that, the word GOAT? Some of us do because you're just a little too old. That's all it is. It took me a long time to get that out of my head. Oh, greatest of all time. It's an acronym. Greatest of all time. Yeah. Thank you for not being offended and laughing. Let me read something. This is fantastic. I believe this is the key. Listen, the key to walking in the Spirit is our real belief. It's a real belief, not a fantasy belief, not just a want to, but it's a real belief that the pleasures of a reward will be worth the denial of a lesser pleasure. Did you guys hear that? The pleasures of a great reward will be worth the denial of a lesser pleasure that's here on earth. And that's what nourishes the spiritual fruit in my life that compels me to be full of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and that dreaded one that I love, self-control. Hello? Come on. Yeah. Wanting the rewards of the Spirit offers us more than the rewards of sin that the world offers us. I'm going to suggest that it's not a lack of willpower that we give in to sin. It's a lack of reward power that we lose focus. Hello? Set your eyes on the prize. When we set our eyes on the prize, we don't lose motivation. We don't. We get punched and we get beaten. We get knocked down. And stuff in this world and this life is really, really, really hard. And even not fair. But we keep our eyes on the prize. Hello? You know, you guys know I'm a sports fan. And yes, today's the opening day of NFL and all that. And I'm kind of like, I'm almost over whatever they're doing. I don't really care what they're doing anymore. Whatever. But I'm still a humongous baseball fan. Amen. I love me some baseball. The team I love to watch is the Giants. And I know David and I, we have good talks about it. Yeah. Poor Giants. Here's what's happened. There's only a few weeks left of the season, and they're pretty much out of it. Basically, their eyes on the prize is for maybe next year. What does that do for them? They lose motivation. But there's a few teams that are still in it. Boo Dodgers. But they're in it. And their eyes are on the prize. And their coach, the manager, is saying, keep your eyes on the prize. We can do this. Set your mind on the prize. That's what compels them to go hard, to go strong, to train more, to do what God has called us to do. We must acquire that same perspective and attitude as believers. Let's go for it, friends and brothers and sisters. Let's go for it. Let's not just settle for just making it and just getting in. Hello? I'm actually just exhorting us as Paul exhorted us. Run that we may obtain it. For a sustained, Spirit-filled life and the glory of God is always fueled by intense desire for more of God. As David said earlier, that's our prize. We get God. Jesus' prize is what? He gets us. We get Him. Let's just align ourselves with God. I mean, that's good news. Hello? Hello. Amen. 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 Let's pray and worship the Lord again. Father God, we just thank You for Your love for us, which is really beyond our finite comprehension. But You by Your Spirit, You instill within us a taste of You. And even as we worship You, we lift You up. May You just right now, in this very moment, here in this morning, give us a taste. May we touch You. We give You permission to touch us, to fill us, to inspire us, to refocus us, so that we can be set on going hard after You with everything in us, that we may bring glory to Your name, that the prize of our life would say, yes, 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 to those who are looking, those who are searching, those who are hurting, and say, yes, I have an answer, and His name is Jesus. He's the answer for my life, and He's the answer for yours. He's the prize for my life, and whether you know it or not, He's the prize for your life. May we know You, Jesus. May we know You, Jesus. And may we present You, Jesus, to those who need to know You clearly and rightly. In Jesus' name, by Your Spirit. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.